Start the share. Finished Bedikas Chametz. Got all the pieces ready to be thrown into the garbage. No burning tomorrow, so throwing it in the garbage. We don't want to take chances. Mirtzah Shem. Tomorrow we'll probably set a time, figure around 4:45-ish, just to finish up this series. Before I want to make the last 2 hours just to get ready for Pesach and Seder, say hello to family. So tonight let's deal with the ninth experience, the experience of darkness. The obvious issue that leaps out, really two issues that are related, is first of all, very interesting that it's the only makkah that occurs in stages. We don't really know how long the makkah endured, but it seems that each lasted a week or 3 weeks. The predominant opinion is 3 weeks of warning and 1 week of an event. But it seems that it didn't grow in ferocity, but that whatever the makkah was, it started from the get-go. So Dever started from the get-go. Shechin was just as bad day one as it was day three. There's no difference in the barad. Barad happened immediately. In fact, Chazal do point out how immediate the barad was. Typically thunder, lightning takes a while, the storm clouds grow. Everything erupted at once. It was a full avalanche. But in a second, a couple of people that want to join. Jacob wants to join. Welcome, Jacob. Okay. But with Choshech, it appears as if there was a slow evolution. And it happened across the week, and this is more or less how Chazal of the other Makos were a week, because the lifetime with the longevity of Choshech seems like a week long. Moshe creates Choshech. There was a 3-day period of Choshech. And then lo reu ish esachiv. Then there was a 3-day period in which people couldn't see one another. Lo kamu ish mitachtav. And a 3-day period which is even more intense. So the first period was just darkness, but you can still make out other people in the background. Second period was so dark you couldn't even make anyone else out. And the third stage was you couldn't even stand. So it seems like it was about 9 or 10 days. It's not clear that each was 3 days. Some versions of Chazal have it only 1 week, 3 days of darkness, and 3 days that it was so dark that you couldn't stand and you couldn't see. So it was 6 days. It's unclear whether it's 3, 3, and 3 or 3 and 3. But either way, there's an evolution of the makkah and exacerbation of the magnification of the makkah. And sometimes when you have something that hits you and you know this is the full brunt and the full issue you have to deal with, you gather your resources, you face it, you find solutions. The Egyptians tried to dig around the Nile. The Egyptians tried to quarantine one another. But when the goalposts are always moving and the conditions of the first stage are replaced and intensified by the second stage and possibly a third stage, it becomes much more difficult. And it's something that we've faced over the last couple of weeks is the curve and the intensification and the exponential growth. And the rules are always changing. It's one thing if you're facing a crisis, you can deal with it, you can frame it, draw your resources, find ways to face it. But when the future is unknown and it's just going to grow exponentially, that's what you have the sense of Choshech really for the first time. And it's really the only makkah. So again, it's not clear whether it's 3, 3, and 3 or 3 and 3, but either way, there was an increment. And it's very reflective of something that we've been facing. Another issue, of course, which stands out, it's very corona-like, is literally social distancing. It's become the catchword. We have to keep away from one another. And in Mitzrayim, that second or third, it's not clear whether it's the second and final series of 3 days or the second out of 3 series of 3 days, but either way, the Torah writes that it was so dark, lo roi ish esachiv. They couldn't see each other. They couldn't even speak with one another. And we all feel the challenge of being socially disconnected. We're trying to recreate it through Zoom and other fashions, but we feel that our social lives have dwindled and a part of us has shriveled. And our ability to have friendships and to spend time with people and to, obviously, we've stressed our families, but a full balanced life is not just family. Again, even in those times, they couldn't even see each other family-wise. At least we have our family units in most cases. You know, people have had corona victims within the family, so that person has had to isolate from the entire family. Sometimes the family has to isolate amongst themselves. I mean, if to be honest, if you really wanted to defeat the coronavirus, we'd each stay in a room. You wouldn't stay with your family. You'd each find a room and you'd stay in your room, and there'd be one person in charge of cooking, let's say your mom or your sister, and that person would make the food and put little food outside the door. We'd solve coronavirus very speedily that way, because whoever has it. We wait 14 days and there'd be absolutely no infection whatsoever. But we know that we can't live that way. We at least need people to interact with in our family. So people that have the virus have to be quarantined, completely disconnected from others, whereas people who don't, at least they can't be victims or subjects, or they can't be transfers. So we isolate from the rest of society, but we still keep our nuclear family. The social interaction is such a crucial part of being a human being. We can't just sit in solitary confinement, although that would be a very, very speedy, and we may have to come to that. There may be situations which is just so dire in certain parts of the world, then you need space and you need resources. It's a very, very difficult balancing act. But the Egyptians, and especially during a time of crisis, because during a time of crisis, you need emotional support, you need one another, you need pooling of resources, pooling of ideas. So you have Choshech, and you can imagine those first 3 days, they were starting to think about end arounds and how can we create light, and how can we help one another in the darkness and feed one another. We'll talk about this a little bit later. And then all of a sudden, in the next 3 days, they can't even see each other. And then the final 3 days, they can't even stand up. So they're, it's not just a question of not seeing each other, not talking and not communicating. They can't even move. That's just sitting in a chair for 3 days. You don't even have movement. And we've all suffered the lack of movement. Like, we're able to move in our homes. We can't walk too far outside of our homes, depending on where you are. So this whole shutdown of broader human affairs, social activity, social pooling, walking, standing, exercise. The macros are getting much, much more basic. If you want to take a bird's eye view of the macros from 10,000 feet up, essentially the last 3-4 macros are taking and stripping even basics away from the Egyptians. If let's say the first 3 macros were surrounding the Nile and the construction industry, which were high water, these were the metals of the Egyptian society, this is the great accomplishments, and Hashem is beating down Egyptian pride. The last 3 makos are essentially taking away food, community, movement, and life. Essentially, they can't eat because Barad and Arba have eliminated all the food. There's no community. There's no movement. There's no light. And then people die. It's really, really basic, taking away the basic aspects of the human condition. Now, here, there's a very interesting phrase about the Jewish people. This is one of the makos in which it's clear the Jews didn't suffer. I talked about it with Arov. I talked about it with Deber. With Arov and Deber, the Torah just says Hashem distinguished between Goshen and the Egyptians. So there were no dead animals. There were no dead carcasses for the Jews. There were dead animals and dead carcasses for the Egyptians. There was Arov, that's when there was wild animals rampaging through Egypt. But the wild animals didn't enter Goshen. So it's a negative. They had X, the Jews didn't have X. So you would expect the Torah to write that the Egyptians were shrouded in Choshech, and the Jews didn't have Choshech. Choshech didn't affect them. Yet, the Torah writes a much more positive view. L'chol b'nei Yisrael, haya or b'moshevotam. The Jews had or b'moshevotam. So the Egyptians have Choshech, and the Jews have or. You can't help but think about Bereishis. Yehi Choshech, Yehi Or, Tohu Vavohu, Choshech Al Pnei Sehom. It sounds like the Egyptians are devolving or reverting back to the chaos of pre-creation, whereas the Jews are starting to become part of Yehi Or. And the reason is because the Jews are now creating a world. What's the world that Shmos creates? That's why there's so many parallels between Shmos and Bereishis. We're creating a world of redemption and a world of history and a world of spirituality. So this is really a bracious moment. L'chol b'nei Yisrael, the Torah doesn't say that Choshech, the Makkah, didn't affect the Jews. The Torah says positively, L'chol b'nei Yisrael, haya'or b'moshevosam. It's much more poetic. It sounds like the Jewish people are now recreating the creation, or they're benefiting from the recreation of a spiritual world, just like in the beginning of Bracious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the physical world by saying, he'or. The Katzke used to talk about that, quoting his name, they weren't just privileged to light, they were privileged to the supernal light, this the original primal light of Gan Eden. So you've got a lot of echoes and connotations back to the original Maaseh Bereishis. I'll just end with a nitziv, because it's an interesting nitziv about Mitzrayim, and it's an interesting nitziv, an interesting comment on what we're going through. Yes, an interesting question. For 7 days, they couldn't stand up, they couldn't talk, they couldn't move. Went to some positions, they couldn't even breathe, which is another corona marker, because the choshech wasn't just the lack of light. Choshech was a heavy fog and a heavy presence. And the reason they couldn't stand was not because, I can't imagine darkness so dark you can't stand. If you're sitting in a completely, completely dark room, I can't imagine how dark it could be that you wouldn't know where your chair is. So you just stand up and you know there's nothing in front of you. According to some, they couldn't stand because they weren't breathing, because they just didn't have oxygen. This darkness was a palpable, palpable transformation of the atmosphere, of the air. Somehow, the light particles that create light in our space were rendered into dark particles, and there was some substance to it, and they just couldn't breathe, and it affected their lungs and affected their biological principles. They didn't eat, they didn't breathe, they couldn't stand because they were weak. Basically, they were at death's door. By the time Malchus Choshech was finished, they couldn't breathe, they couldn't eat, they were at death's door. And it's really the most breathing compromised Makkah. It's the Makkah which is hardest for people to breathe. So we don't normally associate Choshech with breathing, but according to, we want to take a look, it's the Ralbag and others. It literally talks about their noses and their lungs and their throat, the entire upper respiratory system, which is the upper part of our body. If you think about breathing, make it a little lower. Eating is here, breathing. So we breathe, it's much more fundamental. We think, we breathe, or we think we live, we breathe, and then we eat. So some of the other makas were much lower. This is a maka that affected the upper respiratory system, in line with what I said before, was much more basic to who they were. So it's another thing to think about, not just the social distancing and the exponential or the evolutionary nature of the maka, but the fact that it couldn't breathe, and also the Jews have this light because the Egyptians seems to be sinking backwards into Tohu Vavohu, where the Jews are in a place of light and supernal light. I'll just end with an itziv I alluded to before. How did the Egyptians survive those 7 days or 6 days that they couldn't eat, they couldn't stand, they couldn't breathe? Evidently, the Jews became medical caretakers. They were the ones handing them food and offering them intubator machines and breathing machines, obviously the breathing machines. They were assisting them, and this is part of the growing Jewish popularity. By the end of Mitzrayim, the Jews are very popular, Moshe is very popular. It's only Paro who's holding out, and it's important because that the Egyptians become the Jewish fan base, because what happens to the Jews will hopefully ricochet theologically to the rest of the world. So people are following the Jews, even they not literally, but they're following the events surrounding the Jews, even when they leave Mitzrayim. So this is a moment for the Jews to become more popular than they were before, because when people reach vulnerability and others support them and medically, so obviously they become your heroes. I think that a lot of us are witnessing that the previously unheralded medical personnel, nurses, doctors, paramedics, are slowly becoming the heroes of our society, because they're willing to risk so much just to try to keep people alive. So all of a sudden, we've got crisis and people rise to the occasion. In this case, it was a national element that the Jews rose to the occasion. But in our context, we've got people that are very devoted and more certainly proud when they're in our family. I have a son-in-law who is involved in testing and he's in the medical profession. I'm sure all of us know people are to give them that type of chizuk. And that's really the role that Jews played during Choshech, not during Makas Bechoras, because the Jews were quarantined. Tomorrow, I want to talk about the quarantine a little bit. But I'm going to talk about it also in my Twitter video. I spoke about it earlier today, so those who joined the share at 6 heard it. But if not, it's a very, very important topic. So try to catch it either on my Twitter or Facebook video for the 2 minutes, or let's call it 4:45, the Makos share. Okay? Laila Tov, everyone. Don't forget Bedikas Chametz. Max, see you. Yeah, we probably did it already, right? Right here, a couple hours before in South Africa, but... Okay. Have a good night. Rest up. Get your car for the
sake. Thanks, Rav.
Be well.
Bye.